Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair with our weekly time together. And as promised and as advertised, it is the second edition of The Captain and the Mate Taking It to Sea. And so because I'm the senior man and because I'm the captain and because it's my program, I'm going to give my usual greetings to everyone. And then Mate Madeline is going to give her greetings to, well, Madeline, where would you like to send your greetings today?
Well, just about everyone, I guess, all over the world.
All right. So last time we talked a little bit about my tags, and I know that you did. In fact, you've got that camera set up for us to do another one, which you're going to send on to my tags. Is that not true?
Yeah. I mean, my tags is the Maritime Institute of Technology and Graduate Studies. It's where I go to train. It's where I'm actually going at the end of the month again to train, take some more certification classes for my chief mates. Lots of stuff to take care of. So they help with a bunch of mate-to-master program stuff.
All right, so we've now delivered our greetings. This is, of course, Voice of Vashon, 101.9 on the FM band. And I looked at the film that you did the last time, and I did not like the way that I looked. So I'm going to try to police up a little bit. And so my greetings to from Stockholm on one side of the world to Singapore to the other. And also, I'm going to do my binnacle list because there is only good news this time on the binnacle list. I don't know whether in merchant practice you call the sick list the binnacle list, but of course it goes back centuries. And so the binnacle list this time has only good news because Sailor the Cat has returned. He was on a long patrol.
Wow.
Yes. And
praise.
What was that?
Praise.
Oh, praise. Yes, praise. So so Sailor returned and he behaved as if he had just been on a long patrol, that he had not caused any distress to his captain. Mm. And the other is that the water leak to the captain's quarters has now been repaired. And
wow, congratulations.
So things are moving along in a smart and seaman-like fashion. I missed a birthday. One of my most staunch supporters is DJ on the Coast Guard channel, and I missed his birthday, and so I'm publicly policing that up.
Okay.
And we had, we invited Jeff Fletcher to come on and talk about the auction for VIP.
Yeah.
And do you know anything about that?
I don't.
Oh, I was going to ask you to deliver the advertisement, but since you don't know anything about it, and since I do, here it
is.
Let's
hear it.
Yeah, here it is. So for this, I have to put my glasses on. That was one of the things that I didn't like about myself, was looking like, are you wearing your contacts today?
I am, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I noticed in one of the pieces of publicity that was done a little while ago that you were wearing glasses.
Yep.
They were, I am certain, safety glasses, because you were also wearing some sort of a hard hat.
Oh, and, yes.
And so then when I handed you something to read while we were waiting for our turn, I noticed that you were peering at it somewhat close aboard, which told me that you probably were wearing your contacts, right?
Yeah.
So here's the story on Furball. The Vashon Island Pet Protectors is a great island facility. It provides all sorts of animal services, and Mate Madeline's father is my particular veterinarian. He has taken care of all of my animals for the 20 years that I've lived on the island. But he's also a much-loved friend, and he also is on the health board. And I just mentioned that because I choose to slip it in. The Pet Protectors is having their auction, and they're doing it virtually again this year because they normally have it where people can actually bid. And so the treasurer of Vashon Island Pet Protectors had asked if he had come on, and then he decided that he would not do it because Madeline and I always have so much to talk about, and we do. But I promised him that I would do two things. The first one was to give him a little advert about the auction. It goes until 8 o'clock, 8 p.m., 2000 on Saturday the 16th. And those of you who are Captain Joe's people who listen from the captain's chair and live on the magical Isle of Vashon, you can bid on Get Ready. You need to write this down. The bidding site is VIPP, Victor India Papa Papa 2021.JJOBID. That's my own handwriting. And I, wow. Anyway, the best way to do it is to go on to the VIP website. That's easy to find. Anybody can do that.
Google.
And right. And Mate Madeline reminds me of Google, whatever Google means. By the way, you can find the Wubo Glacier in Antarctica by going on to the Google Map search. Mm-hmm. Did you know I had a glacier named for me?
I did not know that.
Antarctica?
Wow.
I do.
I'm doing that right after we get off here.
So go on to Google Map, call up Wubo Glacier, and you will be able to find it.
Heck yeah.
It's not a very big glacier, but what the heck? When you get one, that's something
that,
else.
That counts.
All right. So having now delivered also, the second thing I promised Jeff was that it is my custom when I have people on to who are asking for money to make a donation. I have done that, and the envelope for that is over on the big table here in the Gene Bosch studio. So now, Mate Madeline, let's get to some things that you and I want to talk about.
Let's get to it.
And so you and I talked a little bit about pilots.
Yes.
The last time. And we each told a story in which pilots maybe did not serve us as well. But on my Christmas broadcast every year, I have for the last 5 or 6 years told a wonderful story about a pilot that I had in Wellington, New Zealand. And so I have had some very good pilot experiences. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that you have too, in some places in the world.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah. The Puget Sound pilots is a highly skilled group of men, and all of them, unlike in the Panama Canal,
with
at least
one
that,
woman. Hmm? They got one woman now.
Ah, well done. Mm-hmm. And in order to become a Puget Sound pilot, you have to hold a master's license and you have to have sailed on it. So these are not people who are pilots and pilots only, as was the one that I had in the Panama Canal who had only gotten up to second mate, not only because that's where you are, but you're a lot younger than that guy was. So so here you've got a woman now who is one of the Puget Sound pilots.
Yes, indeed.
And how do we tell that a pilot is aboard a ship?
The gangway calls up and says, pilot aboard.
Right. And then what flag is flown?
It's hotel.
Hotel flag. Indeed it is. And the hotel flag is a red and white flag. Mm-hmm. It's in the International Code of Signals, and when a pilot is aboard, it means I have a pilot aboard. And there are some ships whose captains are also their own pilots, and that is probably true of the tow ships. Mm. Are you familiar with...
I don't know about tow. I know Chevron, a lot of Chevron captains have their pilotage.
Okay.
But... Tote's AMO, so I wouldn't know.
All right. So you've never sailed in one of the tote ships?
No, nope, rival union.
Okay. What's the name of the union?
AMO, American Merchant Officers. And I'm with International Organization of Masters, Mates, and Pilots.
Masters, Mates, and Pilots.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that you've just brought something new to me because mm-hmm. I did not realize that the officers in the tote line were... in a separate union,
yep.
In a different union.
Yeah.
So their route is they go back and forth between here and Alaska.
Yep.
And the tow ships, you can always see the containers, one strake of containers on the deck, and all the rest of them are inside the hull of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been in one of the tow ships when they load or unload them?
I have not.
It is an amazing operation. They do it with little tractors. They're on dollies, and it's an amazing operation. And but since they're in a different union, you probably, like a Purple Cow, you will never see one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless I get really lucky, but that would be kind of like an infiltrator into another organization there.
And we
don't do that.
No, loyalties remain strong.
Ooh, yes, they
so
do.
One of the things that you told us the last time that we got together.
Yeah.
And before I get into that question, I have to tell you this. Your fan base is growing daily.
Ooh.
Yours is, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yours is. And so after our last broadcast, the people, many of Captain Joe's people sent me messages saying things like, I want to hear Mate Madeline some more. And I thought, okay, that's one message. And then they kept coming in. And so I figured out that we probably needed to do another one. And we
Absolutely.
May even want to do another one after this. Because,
oh, yeah, let's make it a thing.
Well, we could do that. We could do that. It depends on how much more good press you get and how much less good press or more bad press I get.
Bad press?
Because I have you on.
Who are these people?
Well, I don't know. We're going to smoke them out.
That's right.
So one of the things that you told me was that you spent quite a bit of time growing up living on a boat.
Yes.
And so I want you to tell us about that.
Okay. So let's see. I was, I believe, in kindergarten when my family moved on to a Hudson Force 50. If you've seen the movie Captain Ron, it's that boat. And okay. Not in much better condition, but so that's a fiberglass hull, and pretty much the rest of it is made of teak, which is a lot of work. And we lived on that boat, my parents and my two brothers and I, two older brothers, and I lived on that boat for 8 years. And then, so in during that time, I was in third grade, the middle brother was in seventh grade, and the eldest was in ninth grade. We took a trip from Washington State to New Zealand and back, sailing trip, 16 months. A lot of people do it in a lot longer amount of time, like 3 to 4 years. But my dad, as you know well, is he at the time owned the Fair Isle Animal Clinic, and that was his business. Since has sold that. But yeah, he had to get out and do that dream and get back. And it was a magical experience and shaped a lot of who I am now.
What, how did you, manage the close quarters in for that length of time? I know how long it takes to get from, for example, I know how long it takes to get from Hawaii to New Zealand because I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
But in a ship that was underway, powered ship.
Yeah.
So how about the close quarters? That's pretty tight in a 42-foot boat.
Well, 50.
All right,
yeah,
50.
It's a 50-footer. So, no, I mean, you know, you got 10 feet per person. for me, I mean, I was small. I was 7 to 9 years old at the time. So I obviously had the least amount of responsibility. And as you well know, the least amount of responsibility means you have the most amount of fun, more responsibility, a little less fun. But so my dad probably lost about 15 years off his life that trip.
Did you have any animals aboard?
We didn't.
No.
We left our Newfoundland dog at the time with my aunt and uncle. But yeah, her name was Seaworthy, but she was not very seaworthy.
So I have great fondness for the Kiwis because we staged out of Christchurch for the Antarctic program. And we continued to do that all the way up until the U.S. and the Kiwis got into a political difference over nuclear presence. Mm-hmm. So, and then they moved the Antarctic program over to Hobart in Tasmania. But I really like New Zealand a lot.
Beautiful spot.
It is a beautiful spot, and it is the only country I know of where the national anthem is sung in two languages, and the first version is always in Maori.
Yeah.
And the just in the last 6 months, there have been some reporting that the Maoris probably were the first ones to go to Antarctica. And it makes sense to me that they would, because they arrived in New Zealand around maybe around the in the 14th or 15th century. New Zealand has been relatively recently settled, and so it makes sense to me that they would have gone to New Zealand, gone to Antarctica as well from New Zealand, just to see what was there, whether there was some place that they might want to settle. It's a beautiful country with lovely people, and they have handled the virus business probably as well as any country could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for a technical question?
Oh, let's have it.
All right, let's give it a shot. one of the things that we have talked about here on this program is that I like to give nautical terms to the Captain Joe's people so that we're constantly learning. And so I want to ask you to define the way that we measure tonnages in merchant ships as against how we do it in military ships like mine.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about TEU?
I'm going to get to TEU in just a minute.
Okay.
But I pretty well schooled Captain Joe's people on TEUs. I have on purpose not gotten deeply into things like GRT and that.
So, gross tonnage.
Right. So tell us what you think GRT stands for, Madeline.
Gross tonnage.
Right. And what does that mean?
It is the tonnage of the entire ship, including the cargo and the ballast and... you know, people on board, everything on board.
Right. But it is a measure of carrying capacity rather than of weight. Is that not true?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it goes back many centuries, because when we first started carrying cargo in merchant ships, it was became a taxation source as well. And so for centuries, we have used the volume of ships, the carrying capacity of ships, to tax them. There is a separate way of taxing ships that go through the Panama Canal. There probably is for the Suez Canal. Have you been through the Suez Canal?
Yep, just once.
And you had to take a pilot, a Suez Canal pilot?
Multiple?
Mm-hmm. Why multiple?
They switched out. I think we just had two, but they switched out halfway. I don't know if it was due to rest work or what, but yeah, we had two.
Did you pick one up and then drop him halfway through the canal?
Mm-hmm.
Huh, that's an interesting thing. I've never been through the Suez Canal myself, so, and it of course is a sea level canal with no locks to it. So,
yeah.
All right, so. We've dealt briefly with tonnages and carrying capacity. Military ships are noted by their displacement tonnage, the actual weight of the ship itself, and not by its carrying capacity. What was the name of the boat that you sailed in to New Zealand?
It was Moonflight.
Moonflight.
Mm-hmm.
And did Moonflight have WN numbers on her bow? Do you remember?
She did not.
Okay, so she had been admeasured then.
You know,
There's a homework assignment for you for the next time that we get together.
Yeah.
Ask your dad whether or not moon flight had been admeasured as against having WN motorboat numbers. Because because some yachts are measured that way they do not have WN numbers. That's the alternative way of licensing them. And somewhere in moon flight she has an official number carved into a beam somewhere. Mm-hmm. Was your bunk all the way forward?
No, it was just aft from the forecastle.
After the forecastle. Mm-hmm. Okay. Forecastle spelled Forecastle. Mm-hmm. Forecastle. Yes, indeed.
Forecastle,
right.
Kind of like boatswain.
Yes, like boatswain. Yes, good girl. That's the way that we all... So many, many words in our maritime vocabulary are both abbreviated and go back centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them come from sailing ship days. I trained in square rigger sail for 4 years in Eagle.
Did you really?
Indeed, I did.
Wow.
And when we say the captain shall show no fear, you remember we talked about that last time?
I do remember that.
So I was not a captain then. I was a cadet then. And I probably showed a lot of fear because I was just scared. Let's see. That's one of those words that's on that list that we're not supposed to talk about.
Mm.
Yeah. So our book for this week is Wind, Fire, and Ice.
Okay.
The subtitle is The Perils of a Coast Guard Icebreaker in Antarctica.
Mm.
It is by Dr. Robert M. Bunis, who was the ship's doctor for that particular expedition, the Coast Guard cutter Glacier.
Okay.
And I am not only suggesting, I am asking and hoping that people who would like to have a copy of the book get it from Barnes & Noble rather than from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
I am not worried about Amazon surviving financially, but booksellers like Barnes & Noble are constantly being pressed up against the bulkhead. And so I am going to buy several more copies of it because I am going to send them to Dr. Bunis for him to write in and then give them out to friends. I'm going to have one done for Mate Madeline, and it will be a birthday present for whenever her birthday is. I don't know when it is. But
very kind. It's in July, so we've got a while.
Well, either that or we'll call it last July. Anyway, I'm asking people, if you're going to buy the book, that you get it from Barnes & Noble rather than Amazon. Amazon's doing fine financially. Barnes & Noble may not be doing so well. And it is, again, called Wind, Fire, and Ice by Dr. Robert Bunis, M.D. And the magazine for this time is Sidelights, which is the Journal of the Council of American Master Mariners, an organization of which I've been a member for, well, as long as I was eligible to belong because I was a Master Mariner. And this time in particular, it's got a lot of really good information in it. We're going to cover some of it in future broadcasts. But the article that I showed to Mate Madeline just a little while ago, one in which I have a considerable amount of skepticism, is merchant ships once again being under sail. And it shows a photograph of what one might look like. And it looks to me like it's a pretty sketchy operation. But
there's been a lot in the news about that lately.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, I wonder... If they plan on making ships autonomous,
yes,
and then also under sail power, and also trying to make a deadline,
mm-hmm.
it's a lot of hopes and dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, just the maintenance alone without, like, that diagram that was in that magazine,
mm-hmm.
You see kind of the base is this rotating metal cylinder type situation, and I cannot and it's totally exposed. I can't imagine trying to maintain that, and then also if it's an autonomous ship, who's going to maintain it, and if it's under sail power, even if you are using some of those other alternative methods in accordance with the sail power, I don't know if it's still going to be able to make speed.
So, mate, Madeline has just used the term autonomous that we've not talked about before on this program. What it means is ships that don't have any crew. And I am very much not only skeptical about that whole operation, that whole idea, but I feel the same way about that as I do about motor cars. I think that we are running into an area there which is fraught with peril. And we have enough situations where we have enough peril without introducing one where there are no people. So, but we'll probably, in fact, we will talk about that some more because it is becoming more and more a discussable subject. And in particular, I think by the management of companies who are always looking for ways of cutting down crew sizes, and that's just another subject that Madeline and I have talked about before, and we will discuss again.
A solution for me that we never got to last time.
A solution for you, yes. The solution is that manning levels be very carefully studied, and that the people who actually go to sea be the ones who recommend to their management what they need in order to man a traditional 4-8 watch rotation.
What a concept.
Which is what I grew up with, yeah. And I would think you did too.
Yeah.
Captains don't normally stand watches, but I was at sea enough before I became a captain to have stood plenty of watches, and 4-8 was 4-8 and dogging. Mm. Dogging the watches at the 4-8 in the evening. Is that still done in merchant practice?
Dogging. Can you give me a definition?
Dogging means to half the watch. So the watch at 4 o'clock goes from 4 to 6 in the evening, from 1600 to 1800. And then a new watch comes on at 1800. That way you don't stand the same watches.
Mm.
And so it rotates. And that is certainly the way that I always ran my watch rotations in all of my ships.
We don't do it like that. I don't think any of the ships I've been on have done that. But when we do go into, like on a bulker, for example, if you go into port and you're going to be there for multiple days doing cargo, that's when we would switch to like a 12 and 12, but that's
12 and 12 is a rough watch standing.
It's rough. Yeah.
So we've come once again, dear Madeline, to the end of our time together.
What?
Yes. We've got so much more to talk about as always. So, it is now for your captain to say that it is time for all of you who are responsible for other people to, watch their six and, take good care of them. Until we foregather here yet once again a week from today, from the captain's chair, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And Madeline, the mate, and the captain and the mate will go back to sea together sometime in the future, and we will hope to make it soon because these are really enjoyable programs for your captain, and I suspect also for the mate because
absolutely.
I'm looking over there and she's giving me a little bit of a smile, glinting off of her contact lenses. All right.